This conference is being recorded.
Hi, this is Chris Vendilli from ProFromGo.com. I have Jason James on the line. Jason's become an expert at launching products over the past couple of years. He's got 5 six-figure launches under his belt to include Auction Resource Network, UncutMarketing.com, MembershipRiches.com, AudioVideoRiches.com, and UntoldMarketingSecrets.com. You may have very well have heard of one of these several sites, and we have Jason on the line. We're going to pick his brain a little bit today about launching a new product. Jason, how are you today?
Doing great, Chris. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm doing good, too. I'm glad to have you on the call. I think we'll get some good information out of this. So I just wanted to start off by I already highlighted the fact that you've pretty much become a master at launching a new product. Can you give new marketers that are getting ready to release a website of their own some insight as to how you've had so much success and such explosive results with a brand spanking new website?
Sure. One of the main rules, if you will, that I abide by is make sure you have a quality product that there's a market for, because when you go and you try to sell the product, and my launches specifically have been fueled quite a bit by other people promoting for me, known as JV partners, joint venture partners, or affiliates, you know, the interchangeable terms there. So if you approach someone saying, you know, here's my product, because you want to give these people a product for free, you want to knock their socks off. You know, these people with the huge mailing list and the huge customer databases that you can leverage while splitting the percentage of sales that they make. But initially, to get them to mail for you, you want to have a great, great product and that there's a market for. And there's various ways you can test that. You can use different test beds. You can do some pay-per-click stuff to see how it converts. You can use the Warrior Forum, special offers forum. Basically, go to this site called the Warrior Forum. It's at warriorforum.com/forum. And then you just click on the Warrior Special Offers Forum, and you submit your offer, and basically it's like a marketplace of buyers looking for special offers. And if your product is a hit there, a lot of people buy it and you get a lot of good feedback. First, you can, you know, use those testimonials for your sales letter and stuff as proof that the product is good, but you'll know it's a good product and you have a winner on your hands, so that when you do promote joint venture partners, approach joint venture partners, they're going to be impressed with the product, and the next thing is you want them to be impressed with your sales process, meaning have professional graphics on your site, hire a copywriter. And there's a secret I'll share with everyone later on what I do for copywriting that works really well, but you're going to want to hire a copywriter to write a sales letter for you to sell your product, because if you could have the best product in the world, but if the sales letter doesn't indicate and let people know or give people that emotion to go and click on the buy button, you know, no one's going to buy it. You know, you can have an awesome product, but if your sales letter doesn't tell people what your product is and what it can do for them, you know, you're dead in the water. So you want to have a quality product that there's a market for, and you want to have a professional presentation. And then finally, once you have that stuff in place, you know, you go out and you approach joint venture partners or affiliates, and there's a million ways to do that. I'll get into that in a little bit more detail later, but you can just email people randomly. You can go into the different web forums, like the Warrior Forum is one I mentioned. You can search through Google and Yahoo for sites that are similar to yours, and if you go to their website and they have like an opt-in box or a form where people enter their name and email address, you can be rest assured that those people have targeted list of people and buyers potentially that maybe want to buy your product. So that's pretty much the most important things when starting out with a new launch.
That's some great advice there. Now, you said most of your joint venture partners and your affiliates, when you're trying to get them hooked, I guess, and get them on board, you actually give them an unrestricted free copy, basically the same thing as what the customers are going to get?
Yeah. I mean, I tell people, just be generous with who you give your stuff away for free to. You know, you don't want to put it out there for the whole internet to see, but if there's a partner that can potentially help you, don't be stingy. Even if you're selling a $50 ebook or a $500 home study course, send people that course. Be generous with who you giving your product away for free, and most likely you'll get paid back, you know, fivefold or tenfold over and over and over again. That's just in my experience is what I've experienced.
Yeah, I think that's some great advice. I've actually seen some pretty creative ways of giving potential joint venture partners and good affiliates, you know, a copy or a free gift to kind of get them interested in what you have to offer. I know you might recall one particular launch. It was not too long ago. The guy actually sent away iPods to all the top affiliates that he wanted on his list with a little video describing the product actually on the iPod, and he let everybody keep the iPods. That's just one, I guess, original idea you could kind of run with based on that information.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a story, I've told it before on other calls, but there's this one joint venture partner for a previous product of mine, and he had a product very similar to mine, and I wanted him to promote my product, so I knew this guy was into golf. He loved golfing. So basically what I did was I found out where this guy lives, his hometown, and I bought a gift certificate for him to his local golf pro shop, and I sent that along with my JV proposal through overnight mail, through FedEx, and needless to say, I got that guy as a joint venture partner. So play on people's interests is a very great way to get people to promote for you. And, you know, get people's attention, you know. These guys who have the big mailing list, the, you know, the big boppers that can really send a lot of sales your way, they probably get stuff all the time from people. So if you can find a way to stand out and be creative and original, you'll probably do a little better.
Wow, I never really thought of taking it that far. That's some more great advice. I think I might be able to guess who you're talking about as far as the marketer interested in golf, but we'll leave it at that. Now, the next question I kind of wanted to delve into a little bit with you is, on your last couple of websites that I actually mentioned in the introduction, I was wondering if we could kind of pick those apart a little bit piece by piece and talk about, you know, what went right with each launch and maybe even what went wrong, if anything, that you kind of learned from and the types of results that you saw.
Sure. I can talk about, let's see, the one that went the best, and I'll talk about the one that went the worst.
That'd be great.
Okay, the one that went the worst was actually a product called Untold Marketing Secrets. And some of the mistakes I made for this launch was, and there are a few of them, and basically I waited too long to let people know that the product was launching on the launch date. So people had already committed, joint venture partners had already committed to promoting for other people. So that really hurt me because I depend heavily on joint venture partners mailing out to their subscriber and customer lists to promote my product. And the product itself didn't do as great in sales as my best launch because I didn't have a back end in place that was effective. There was one, and it was just some teleseminar stuff. That was only $97 or so, but as you'll see in a second, that is, you know, small potatoes compared to what I did with another one of my launches. And one of the things I learned from Untold was don't do stuff last minute. You know, I would suggest people have every single aspect of their launch in place before they even pick a date to launch their product. And one of the mistakes I made with Untold was kind of threw everything to the product itself. Took, you know, a couple months to put together. I had the product together, but as far as the launch process, the pre-launch, and getting all the specifics, like the sales letter and the back end set up, it was all kind of pushed together at the very last minute in the last couple weeks, and I didn't do a great job with it. And having a back end is so important, especially a higher-priced back end. Now, that leads me to my best launch I've ever done, which is a product called Membership Riches, which was an ebook on how to set up your own membership website, which is a site with content behind a protected area where you access with the username and password. You know, you add content month after month. It's, you know, monthly recurring type of income, and that's called a membership website. Basically, I wrote an ebook on how to set up membership websites, what payment processors to use, how to get free content, how to get content that you didn't even write. basically a guide on how to do it. And at the same time, there is a product around which is basically, it wasn't my product, it was a product called, and I don't remember the name of it, but it was basically a system for a membership site in a box. Basically, there was this service where people could buy, or they would get a fully set up membership website, which included a sales letter, it included all the content, it included promotional materials, all the terms and conditions and the paperwork needed to make yourself legal. It was everything you needed for a membership website. They basically handed you a membership website, and the price of that was about $4,000. So basically the way my sales process worked was people would come to my site, Membership Riches, and the people that went ahead and bought Membership Riches, which was a guide on how to build a membership website, immediately after they purchased, they would be presented with this offer for a membership site. So basically, it would save them all that trouble and all that hassle of having to do all the work themselves. So it was like the perfect, perfect offer to give people who just bought a product on how to do it. But, you know, instead of how to do it, well, here you go. Pay $4,000 and we'll do it all for you. You don't have to spend months and months doing it. And it's all personalized with your name, your domain name, you know, whatever they choose, .com. And like I said, it was $4,000. People listening to this will probably like, well, no one's going to pay $4,000. Well, wrong. Over 50 people upgraded to the $4,000 offer. Now, the offer wasn't mine, so I had to split the profits of the $4,000 offer. I got 33% of that $4,000. I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are, but you know, a huge chunk of change, at least $1,000 and a few hundred after that. But I mean, that worked brilliantly. So I had a very high price back end, and I took my time. I made sure everything was right, everything was together, and it was just such an awesome offer to put after that ebook, and ended up doing over $300,000 in sales in the first 2 weeks. Actually, to be specific, $309,000 in the first 2 weeks, which that's pretty good. I was pretty pleased with that. So that's
wow.
That's the story of my worst launch and my best launch.
That's pretty impressive. Do you have, now that you've been through this about five times or so, plus whatever other sites you may have had that I failed to mention, do you have any sort of like checklist or special formula or anything that you've developed over the years that you kind of, you know, make sure you have all your ducks in a row? Like you mentioned, you got to take your time and make sure your sales letter's in place and make sure your back end is all set up and you have a good, you know, 1-2 punch so that you can hit them with a complimentary offer. But I mean, have you actually specified a set of events that you definitely need to touch upon each one before you're ready for a launch so that you know basically that all systems are go?
Yeah, I have 10 things that I look for that I try to do before each launch. Let me see if I can remember them. I said one of them already, and I'll just shoot through these pretty quickly. The first one is make sure you have a quality product that there's a market for, and that's rule number one. You know, if you're going to spend all this time developing a product and marketing it, you want to make sure that there's people out there who want to buy it. And a lot of people make that mistake of just, hey, I'm just going to decide to go ahead and do this product because I think it'll be good. Well, you need to make sure through testing and doing some research that, you know, there is a market for this product and people will buy it. Now, the second thing would be conduct a pre-launch. Give away free content. Give away a chapter of your book or an interview from your product or whatever it is before the product even launches to, you know, create buzz, let people know what your product is all about, and, you know, basically get the community or your niche excited about your product before it even launches so that when your launch day does come, you want people to just not even have to read the sales letter, just go right to the buy button because they're so excited and pumped up and jazzed that they want your product. So they go right to your page after you launch to click on buy. So a great pre-launch is definitely important. The third thing would be get a grasp on the technical stuff. I've seen it time and time again where a product launches and all these people promote it, marketers promote it, it gets traffic from search engines, and the website goes down. You know, the bandwidth limit exceeded message comes up on the website, which is just so unprofessional. and it cost, you know, product owners hundreds, thousands, or hundreds of thousands, even millions probably. If your website's down and all these qualified prospects are trying to get to your site, but it's down because your server got overloaded. So you want to make sure things like web hosting are solid. You want to have a backup plan in place. You want to make sure your payment processor is aware that a big influx of cash is coming in. You know, it's something you have to be careful about, especially if you're using PayPal or your own merchant account. You know, I've heard stories where people's merchant accounts get frozen because, you know, thousands of dollars come rolling in, so people think it's some sort of fraud or spam or something. So get a grasp on the technical stuff. It's very, very important. The fourth thing would be keep in touch with your customers and your joint venture partners constantly. During your pre-launch, you're going to want to set up a blog just to, you know, tell people what's going on with the launch. You can also put links to your free content, like I said, your a chapter from your book, an interview, whatever it may be, post it on your blog. Let people know what's going on with the launch, and just constantly through the blog and through a mailing list, because on your website before the product launches, you're going to want to grab people's name and email so that they have to enter their name and email in order to get the free content. And that way you can keep in touch with them through email. And then same thing with joint venture partners. you want to keep them updated. You want to give them promotional tools, like if they're going to send an email to their list, we'll write the email for them so they can send it to their list. If they want to put a banner on their website, let them all know, hey, there's some banners available over here that I had made. You want to let people know when the site launches, what the commissions are, all that stuff, where to log in to check their stats, all stuff like that. You want to constantly keep in touch with your customers and your joint venture partners. Another thing is, and this is the fifth thing, outsource certain tasks in to save you time, basically. Some of the things you can outsource are graphic design, copywriting, and that's a big one. You want to have a great sales letter, great copy written, so you'll convert those visitors into sales. See what else? Technical stuff, script installs, you know, the database stuff, affiliate script, whatever it may be. It's a great idea usually to outsource those tasks, because with the invent of sites like Elance, Rent-A-Coder, you can get these guys who will work for as little as $4 an hour and do a great job. Most of them are overseas, especially India. There's a lot of great programmers in India that will work for peanuts. Really, really cheap, and they do a great job, and they're ultra-responsive. So outsource as much as you can. The sixth thing would probably be, let's see, test everything. You want to test your sales process, meaning test when you click on the order link on your website. You want to make sure it goes through, and that, and then place a test order yourself to make sure the sale goes through, and then people are then redirected to the download page. And you also want to check that the confirmation email comes to let people know that they purchased. And then you also want to make sure that the affiliate tracking script, whatever it may be, you want to make sure that that's working. So if someone sends traffic to their link through your affiliate program, you want to make sure they get credit for the sale. That's very, very important. You can test your site to see how it looks on different browsers, on different computer monitor resolutions. Make sure it looks good in those. Spell check everything. Test. You want to have as professional a presentation as possible. Let's see. The seventh thing would probably be different. Get people's attention. I mentioned it earlier when trying to get the attention of a joint venture partner, but be as different as you can. I don't really have a specific idea to tell people, but that's basically up to them. Just be different. Get people's attention based on your market. The eighth thing would be recruit joint venture partners early and often, because that will have a major bearing on your success or failure. For my launches, 90 to 95% of the sales that come in are generated by joint venture partners. You know, I only do 5 to 10% of the total sales myself through my mailing list and through my efforts. So the earlier you can get someone to schedule a mailing for you or to promote for you in whichever way they do, whether it's pay-per-click or putting a banner on their site or whatever it may be, that's very important. So recruit those JVs early, get them free access to your product, and let them know you're launching a product. You know, if you're doing it in April, let people know in March that you're launching a product. Let's see. The ninth thing would probably be, and I mentioned this earlier, pay a copywriter to create an effective sales letter for you, because, like I said, if you have, you could have the best product in the world. It could be like a product that, you know, where you push a button and money comes out. But if your sales letter doesn't tell people that, no one's ever going to buy it. So you want to have a great sales letter. And don't be afraid to spend a little money on a good one, because there's copywriters out there who work for a couple hundred bucks, and there's ones that cost, you know, $20,000 plus. So you want to find a happy medium for whatever you can afford, because it'll pay you back over time if you have a great sales letter. And finally, and I also mentioned this earlier, set up a back end for additional profits, preferably much more expensive than your original offer, and try to make it as complimentary as possible. Like the example I mentioned earlier, I had a site on how to build a membership website. On the back end, after they purchased, they were given a membership website, the option for a membership website for $4,000. So that was really complimentary. So try to include a complimentary back end that really fits with your original offer. So there's my little formula, 10 things that I do before launch.
Jeez, man, you really caught me off guard with that. I was trying to take notes, my hand's numb. That was a lot of good info.
Thanks.
Could make that into an ebook, Jason James' Top 10 Things to Do Before a Product Launch. I like that. And my next question was basically going to be, is there like as far as chronologically, as you approach the launch, what sorts of things are you setting in place as you grow nearer? You know, how do the priorities shift from, you know, maybe from like, say, 90 days out up until you're just a few days out? Where do you change your concentrations? But I think you kind of covered that already, but I'll leave it open to you and see if there's anything else you want to throw in as far as the way your focus should change as you approach the launch date.
Yeah, I'd say first, you'd probably want to work on the product, perfect the product, and then you want to get your sales letter perfected. You want to have a great product and a great sales letter, and then once you have that, you want to start getting partners to promote it for you, affiliates, joint venture partners, on board to promote it for you. And then once you have those guys, and you get closer to the launch, you want to work on your pre-launch, getting your buzz going, and you know, giving away free content, setting up the blog, like I mentioned, get a huge, huge buzz going around your product. And then at that time, right around when you're launching, one of the things you really want to concentrate on is keeping people updated. Let your joint venture partners know what's going on. Let them know when to mail. And then on the customer end, email that pre-launch mailing list that you developed from the page you had set up for your pre-launch. Email those people, make blog posts, because as much as possible, you want to get people into a buying frenzy so that when your launch comes, you want them to just shoot right through the sales letter and click on buy. I mean, that's the goal, to get them so excited before you even launch it so that they're ready to buy before they even see your sales pitch. And then once your product launches, same thing, you want to follow up with people. People that are on the list, on your pre-launch list that didn't buy, follow up with those people. And joint venture partners that didn't promote your site yet, you know, call them, send them an email, whatever. You really want to, you know, annoy them, quite honestly, so that, you know, you want them to say, I'm going to mail for it, here's the date, or I'm sorry, but it doesn't fit into my schedule, and I won't be able to mail this time. As long as you get one of those two answers, that's great. You know, you want as many people as possible to mail for you, but if they don't, you know, you can leave them alone and move on to other people. So that's really it as far as chronologically.
Okay. Now, I noticed you said that you prefer to actually have the sales copy done early on, where I've noticed a lot of times, every now and then, someone will actually send me a JV request, and I can't even count how many times they'll say, here's the JV blog, here's where you sign up as an affiliate and get your link. We'll let you know when the sales page is ready. And that's kind of annoying, because the sales page is what actually tells you the most about the product. And I think that's some more good advice that a lot of people fail to actually follow, is to actually have their sales page done way ahead of schedule, so that way you actually have some time to test it. And I think that's a good key point here that I put down in my notes, and I'm going to remember when I'm getting ready to launch my next site.
Great.
You mentioned that joint ventures and affiliates are a big part of your business. I was wondering if you could kind of go a little deeper and talk about like the primary ways you attract joint venture partners and affiliates. I know we kind of touched upon it as far as, you know, getting their attention by maybe sending them a gift or at least inviting them by an email, but do you usually go just contact them directly, or, you know, do you ever use like joint venture brokers or submit your product to affiliate directories, anything along those lines as far as, you know, how do you attract people in masses and get them eager to promote your product?
Sure. First let me say, when you're trying to recruit joint venture partners, it's really about relationships, and that's when putting in the time to develop these relationships is very, very important. There is no one massive way to get people to promote for you. The way I've done it is, you know, going back to 2005, I attended the offline seminars. You know, Chris, that's why I met you in person at a seminar. Excuse me. So meet people, network as much as possible. Go to the seminars. Sometimes they're expensive, but I'm telling you, they're so worth it. And I've started developing these relationships 3 years ago. And over time, you can, you know, meet people that they know and leverage your relationships, and you meet more and more people as time goes on. So that's the best way to get a horde of people mailing for you. If people know who you are, they know you, they like you, they trust you, and when you have a product, you want as many people as possible behind you, but I think the best way to do that is through developing relationships, because I can't tell you, I'm not saying I'm a guru or anything, but I get a lot of joint venture proposals, and most of them I just don't have time to look at. You know, I have a huge, I was going to say a box of products, but I have several boxes. Some come in their own box of these huge home study courses, hundreds and hundreds of pages where I just don't have time to look at them. I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I don't know what they're trying to sell, but I have more important things to do. You know, it may be a great product, but I don't know you, and I don't have time to look through this 200 or 300 page course, unfortunately. So developing relationships is very important. And you mentioned, Chris, using joint venture brokers. There's one that you know who he is. His name is Mike. He does a great job. But, you know, there's a trade-off there. He takes a percentage of your sales from people that he refers. So I've never used one because I think that I know a lot of people, and I feel confident in my networking skills. But for people maybe just starting out that think they have a great product, using a JV broker is definitely a great idea. He's going to take a cut of your sales, but I would think it'd be worth it over time because you can leverage people that do promote that you got from the JV broker. You can leverage those relationships in the future. And again, you're networking more and more and more and being known more and more and more when those joint venture partners mail out to their list about your product. So more people find out about you. And it's like a snowball effect. Over time, more and more people will learn about you and about your products. And hopefully you have a great product and a great product line, so people love when you launch new products. And like we mentioned earlier, Chris, contact people creatively through joint venture proposals. Send stuff in the mail, email people. And quite honestly, the big guys, the big gurus who want me to promote their product and other people, all they do is send a simple email. Now, the hard part might be finding those people's email address, you know, because a lot of the bigger guys have, you know, gatekeepers, you know, secretaries, assistants, and they're instructed to send a lot of times like this form, you know, generic template email back to people saying, unfortunately, we're not looking for new joint venture partners, blah, 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 blah. But if you can find a way to get in touch with these people through email, go for it. And if you have the guts to do it, give people a call. Find out through the person you want to contact website, or, you know, do a search for their business name in public records or whatever. Find out their phone number. Go and do a whois search on their domain. You know, go to GoDaddy and do a whois search so you can look at their domain name registration and find out their phone number and give people a call. You know, explain who you are, what your product is, and how it can benefit their customers. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. Whatever you do, there's one way that seems tempting when you're just starting out, and that's to spam people. To put together a list of people and just send out a generic email saying, "Hi, I have this product launching. Sign up. It's going to be great." You know, that's something you don't want to do, which is spam people. You want to make it as personal as possible. you know, mention their name, mention their product, you thought it was great, say that you're on their newsletter, and that you have a product that you find appropriate for that. You think that it'll be great for their list, and you can make some money, blah, blah, blah. So,
some more great words of wisdom and everything you've said so far, I totally agree with. Have you ever thought about trying to use anything as far as, like, some direct mail tactics for a product launch, like maybe some postcards or, you know, a professionally, you know, created, basically, what are the words I'm looking for here? Basically, like a postcard or something similar. I know one marketer who has a launch coming up in a few weeks actually sent me a postcard inviting me to come sign up and check out the affiliates page and the blog and everything. It was pretty cool. I was wondering if you actually ever dabbled with anything along those lines.
No, and I think I might have got that same package from that guy today. I got like a bunch of stuff, like a shot glass and a T-shirt and stuff. But
okay.
I've never actually done that kind of campaign. Like, I've usually just sent like personal letters to people, just a regular letter. I've never sent prizes or that type of stuff. Other than just a few times where I did something personal, like that golf certificate, stuff like that. But I've never sent out the postcards, like the mass mail postcards, or sent out gifts or anything like that. But that's just because I didn't really need – what's that?
Well, I was just going to say, even just sending them a letter is basically kind of what I was kind of referring to. I was wondering if you saw a better response to something like that, just because, you know, a lot of people are so fixed on marketing online and networking online, you might catch them a little off guard and really get them to raise an eyebrow if you send something to their doorstep.
Yeah, I mean, sending a letter, you know, it's effective, especially if you can do it like in a FedEx or a UPS overnight. You'll get people's attention if they see a letter delivered to their house at 9 o'clock in the morning or to their office at 9 o'clock in the morning. It will get opened, I promise you that. So that stuff works, I think, and not a lot of people do it. You know, people do it, but not a lot. So if you can do it and you can stand out and get attention and get that letter or your prize or your box or whatever you send people open, you know, you have a good shot of getting those people to help you out.
I don't mean to shift gears on you too much here, but you did mention in your top 10 tips, it kind of reminds me of like a Jay Leno episode, the way you kind of did your countdown. I enjoyed that. But you did mention your technical stuff is pretty important to make sure, you know, you don't lock up a server or make sure your affiliate script is tracking properly. Is there any other technical considerations that you think are really important that we should cover?
I'm just going to reiterate the big ones, and that's have a dedicated server. You know, a lot of times people go into a launch with these, you know, $4 a month shared hosting packages through like GoDaddy or something, and they think that it's going to stand up through a big launch. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not. I have a dedicated server with thousands and thousands of gigabytes of transfer, and I've never had that problem. Does it cost a lot of money? Yes, it does. Is it worth it? Without a doubt, it's worth it. So make sure you have a capable web host, and if you expect a big launch, make sure you have a dedicated server. And if you're expecting a really big launch, there's this thing called the load balancer, which is going to cost a lot of money. Basically, if there's a lot of stress on your server, it's going to take the load and balance it among other servers. So if server one is really stressed out and really getting a lot of traffic and it's about to crash, this thing called a load balancer will transfer some of that data over to another server and make sure that your site never goes down. That's what a lot of the big guys do, is use a load balancer with their web host.
That's a great tip. Is the what's the URL for that? Is it just loadbalancer.com?
No, actually, it's something that most big web hosts will offer. That you just have to contact them, say, do you offer load balancer service? You're gonna have to rent two or three servers and say that you want a load balancer so that traffic is transferred equally through all the servers and your site basically will never go down that way.
Okay, and then is that something that you could just use during maybe like your first 2 or 3 weeks of your launch when the traffic's going to be at its peak? Or is that something that you basically sign up for the long haul?
No, it's something you can do 1 month at a time with most hosts, and then for the first month would be great, and then just and then just downgrade back to one server as opposed to two or three.
I'm just curious, do you happen to know, like, approximately what it costs for 1 month of using that type of service?
It varies greatly depending on how powerful the servers that you rent are as far as the dedicated servers you rent. It can cost, $5,000 to $10,000, or it can cost $500. Really depends on how powerful of the servers that you rent are. I would say entry level is probably $500 or so.
It could be $500 well spent if you're anticipating a big launch and you're starting to get a little momentum going up until that second where you actually flip the switch and take your site live. Now I know my favorite part of a launch is the seconds just before launch time. Like say for example, you're going to launch on September 25th at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. From about 8:50 a.m. until about 9 a.m., I'm on the edge of my seat. That's my favorite time. I'm recalculating everything and going over everything one last time. What's your favorite part of a launch? Once you've put all the work into it, what's the part where you enjoy yourself the most?
I gotta say the money's great, but even more than that is when people get the product, they use the product, and then they actually get results that change, their lives basically. So what I love is when people send in testimonials saying, "Use your product. I made this much money. Thank you so much. Now I can take that vacation. I can buy that car. I can buy that boat or whatever, or I can just, move into a nicer house with my family." Whatever it is, I get the most enjoyment out of seeing my products work for people and change people's lives. So definitely, without a doubt, is getting positive testimonials from people I really enjoy.
That's pretty interesting. Now, what are some of the big mistakes that you see a lot of people making, some of the more common mistakes?
Let's see, some of the mistakes that people make. This one I mentioned a bunch of times, not having a powerful enough web host. I mentioned this again earlier, and not having a powerful sales letter. Don't be afraid to spend money on a copywriter that has a great track record and a lot of positive testimonials. So make sure you have a great web host, a professionally written sales letter. And going back to one of the very first things I mentioned, make sure you have a product that people want to buy. Sounds simple, but so many different people just tend to just think of an idea and put together a product and just assume that it will sell. So you want to make sure that there's a market for your product. Do some research and make sure that if you spend all the time and effort to put together a product, you want to make sure there's a huge, preferably a huge market out there that would be interested in your product. So definitely make sure that you have a product with a market and that the product itself is very high quality and you put a lot of effort into it, because contrary to popular belief, there really isn't overnight riches with an internet business. You really have to put in the time. Now, those overnight riches stories are very rare. You might have a better shot at winning the lottery, but you definitely have to put in the time and the hard work. And Chris, you have, and I definitely have, put in a lot of hard work with our businesses. And, the results will show over time, but it definitely takes hard work.
Jason, I just want to say thanks again for all the great advice you've shared. We've covered, some of your peaks and valleys, and we've gained a lot of insight based on your experience, and I thank you for that and taking the time to chat with us today. I'm sure the people who do get to listen to this interview are going to enjoy it and get a lot out of it. Do you have any closing comments or final words of advice for, some of the new marketers that we're working with at profromgo.com?
My final piece of advice would be, it's hard if you're just starting out to put something together and then launch it. But if you take that first step, don't stick your foot in the water, so to speak. Jump in head first, put together a product, contact joint venture partners, and do a launch. Don't be afraid to take massive action. It's all about having the guts to put together a product and then launching it. So when you do it big. Don't do it small. Do it big. And if you make a mistake, learn. Well, you will make mistakes. I still make huge mistakes, but learn from those mistakes and don't make that mistake again. And over time, I think people will be all right. So that's all for my final comments. If people want to learn more about me, they can go to my blog at realiam.com. That's therealiam.com. And Chris, thanks for having me on this call. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're absolutely welcome. Before you go, don't hit the panic button yet, but I want to put you on the spot for just a second, just because I know you. I'm sure you've got something cooking as far as, you know, what your next project is. Can you maybe give us a little hint or tell us something about it?
Sure. It's going to launch in, I'm not sure when people will hear this, but around June 2008, I'm putting together a home study course on basically running a giveaway. It's basically how people can build their mailing lists from scratch, from zero to thousands of people on their mailing lists. And Chris, you and I know how valuable a mailing list is. You can make a full-time income just from having a mailing list. So with these things called giveaways, I'm going to show people step-by-step how to build their list and how to make money at the same time, which is a killer combination. And the best thing is anyone can do it. And that product is called Giveaway Riches. And the site is not up yet, but it will be, well, it might be when people hear this call, but it'll be at giveawayriches.com.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that as well. I thank you again for taking the time to do this interview today, and I'm sure we'll speak again soon. So I'm going to say goodbye for now, but let's keep in touch. And thanks one last time.
No problem, Chris. Thank you.